Luke chapter 17, God is always good. I hope this morning that we can learn a lesson from this passage of Scripture, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, only because I can learn so much from it. I want you to notice, number one, look in verse number 11 of chapter 17. The Bible says, "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem." You know what he was going to do in Jerusalem? He's going to die. So as Jesus is on his way to be crucified, now he went through some different villages and towns to get there. Took him a while to get there, but he's on his journey to Jerusalem. Do you realize the selfless nature of Jesus Christ? It is something we can all learn from. Selfless. Nothing about us. I cannot understand the love of Christ or the grace of God that God would ask his son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I cannot understand, nor can anybody in this room. If you really sit down and think about it, how that the King of Kings, that God in heaven would look at the most treasured thing in all of heaven, his son. He wouldn't look at an angel. He wasn't looking at Michael or Gabriel, but it was his son. And he said, look, I would like for you, son, you're the only one with perfect blood, to go and shed your blood. Allow these humans, humanity, to murder you and shed your blood. Will you be a sacrifice for them? And he said, yes, Father, I'll go. Do you understand? Can you somewhat comprehend what that means? It would be as though our president would take one of his daughters and say, we're going to ask if you wouldn't mind going, letting us send you over to Afghanistan. They're going to murder you, mistreat you, and murder you, and then there's going to be peace. He wouldn't do it. We wouldn't ask him to. Yet the God of heaven gave his only son. Now his son is on earth. He's been born in a manger. He's lived a perfect life. He has people that hate him, the religious leaders, and he's on his way to die. He is, if you'll notice, he is not asking, what are people going to do for me? Many times in this Thanksgiving season, we look at what maybe somebody else has got and say, why didn't somebody do that for me? Well, God has been good to this person. Why isn't he good to me? Life is up and down, and we have to always be consistent, realizing God is always good. And sometimes when difficulties come, we look at it and say, well, he's not good now. And yet the Lord allows difficulties to come our way to make us stronger. We're here to be lights in the world, to be servants. And we're not here just to get and to have a good time and to be happy. And Jesus Christ is the perfect example of that. If you have your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter number 2. I want you to see his mindset. I want you to see the mindset of Christ. Now keep in mind, if you would, notice in verse number 3. This is Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Now look in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God. Look in verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And then there's a little phrase, even the death of the cross. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and in his mind, I'm going to die, and I'm going to die on a cross. But I'm doing it as he went through every village for him and for her, for this person and for that person. That was his mindset. This Thanksgiving season, young people, don't have the mindset at Christmas, what am I going to get? Have the mindset of doing something for somebody else. Make a note, send it to your parents and say, thank you. Maybe we could take a phone call and say, I wanted to tell you, thank you. This week, I got a real treasure in the mail. It was from somebody that had gotten saved years ago, that one of the deacons and I had gone to their house and led them to Christ. They sent me a card, so I just want to say thank you. What a privilege. What an encouragement. Maybe someone told you about Christ. Maybe it was your mom. Maybe it was your dad. Take this season and write them a note and say, I just want to say thank you. You did something for me that I'll never forget. This mind of Jesus Christ, he's going to die knowing they won't be thankful. Notice, if you would, this mindset is a long journey. Can you imagine all the days and the miles that he's traveling that he has to run this through his mind? Understand, God doesn't tell us what's going to happen tomorrow because we couldn't take it. It would drive us crazy if we knew tomorrow I'm going to be driving home and I'm going to have a horrendous car accident. I'm going to be going to work tomorrow and my boss is going to say, I'm sorry, but we don't need you anymore. There are folks in our church that have lost their jobs after 20, 25 years at the same place. They go in and, I'm sorry, but we don't need you anymore. If you knew that was coming, if you knew that year it was coming, well, sure, we could prepare for it a little bit better. How do you prepare for death on the cross? You can't. How do you prepare for a car accident that cripples you for life? How do you prepare for an illness that affects you permanently the rest of your life? If you knew it was coming, you'd say, I don't want to know about it. That's why God's mercy is to us by not telling us things that come in our lives. But those steps are steps in our lives that make us more like him. And he expects us to have a certain mindset. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. That when he went to die, even the death of cross, he was okay with it. Are you okay if somebody mistreats you at Christmas? If you get together with family, you get together with aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, and maybe there's a little bit of issue between you and somebody else. Are you going to be okay with that and going to honor the Lord anyway? Notice, if you would, he's on his way to Jerusalem, and I want you to see this. In verse 12, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. I want you to notice this. If you'll see that, they come to him and they lifted up their voices, and Jesus said, Master, they lift up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, he could have said right there, guys, I don't really have time to deal with you. I'm going to die. You're what? You're going to die. Could you just heal us first? No. You got to understand, I'm on my way to the cross. But selflessness of Christ caused him to stop. And look what he did. In verse number 13, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And he saw them. When he saw them, he said to them, go your ways. Go yourselves unto the priest. Go show yourselves unto the priest. You know what that meant? That meant, I'm going to heal you. Because that was a sign that you had to go to the priest, and the priest would look at you, and he would check your body, and he would look at the leprosy that's on your body, and if it was decreasing, he would say, you're free to go. In other words, if the leprosy was being removed by God's miracle, that's the only way anybody ever got healed, was when they went to the priest. So when he looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priest, they knew what was going to happen. He didn't say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll do it next week. I'll get one of the disciples to come back. Can you imagine? He was tired. He was weary. Did you know Jesus did more good when he was weary and tired, really, than he did whenever he wasn't? Do you remember in John chapter 4, he's on his way and he stops at a well. And the Bible says he's weary on the way. He's thirsty and hungry. And it's hot during the day. And he sits down beside the well. And here comes the most wicked woman of the town. You know what he does? He could have easily said, you know, I don't feel like talking to her right now. I'm thirsty. But he was selfless. Many of us in this room today, we've got to learn the same lesson, the selflessness of Christ. Let this mind be in you. It's not about you, what you get for Thanksgiving or Christmas. It's not about what you've been given this year. Let's look around and say, Lord, thank you for your great goodness to me. I don't deserve it. Let this mind be in you. Who can you help this Thanksgiving? Who can you be a blessing to? Don't let your mind get selfish. Now, I want you to notice the 10 lepers. I want you to see the selfishness and the selfish nature in their actions. Now watch this. They had heard of Christ. They heard that he was a great healer. And so as he's coming through the village, you'll notice they're standing away off from him. And they say, Master, Jesus. Notice what he said. Master, have mercy on us. They didn't ask, Jesus, have you had a good trip? Jesus, do you need anything? Would you like to have some water? Have you eaten lunch yet? Master, he is the master. And they asked him nothing of his welfare. They didn't care. They had one goal in mind. We want something for us. They were selfish in nature. It doesn't mean that they could have said, Master, would you have mercy on us and heal us if it's your will? There was no if it's your will in there. Lord, we want to be healed. Will you heal us? Folks, let's not be selfish in the things that we ask for. Jesus, kneeling down, said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Even in his prayers, Jesus Christ put the will of the Father before his own will. The selflessness of Christ is an example to us. And these 10 men are an example to us. And notice what they did. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, we need you. Would you look at us? All of us in this room have needs. But when we pray and talk to the Lord, we mustn't say, Lord, you've got to do this for me. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. You'll notice there, they didn't ask a question. They gave him an instruction. Lord, will you have mercy on us? They said, Master, have mercy on us. Do you see the attitude? Master, have mercy on us. Will you heal us? We're in trouble. They could have said very easily with a humble spirit, Master, would you consider using your great power on us and healing us? Do you see the tone in their voice? Do you hear the attitude in their voice? Now, you'll see the actions in a minute that back up their attitude. Notice, if you would, verse 14, when he saw them, he said unto them, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, you'll notice they only had to obey to get healed. So they did that. They did what they needed to get what they wanted. Do we do what we need to just to get what we want? That's their attitude. And you can tell that was the way it was, because the second they looked down at their hands and the second they looked down at their feet and their bodies and saw that the leprosy was gone, what did they do? Notice in verse 15, and one of them, when he saw he was healed, nine of them just kept getting it right on to the priest. They didn't slow down. They didn't turn around. They didn't say thank you. They didn't have the attitude of appreciation. They just kept right on going. And anytime we say to God, God, I need this. Or Lord, I want you to answer this prayer. I want you to heal this person. I want you to do that. Be careful of commands and instructions. We should always make it a request. Lord, if it be your will, this or that. But I'm not sure that's our attitude. Lord, I want this. I want this job. I want this new house. I want this car. I want this child. I want this husband. I want this wife. I want this, Lord, I want this education. Lord, I want this. Will you help me? It's not, will you help me, Lord, if that's what you want. The attitude of submission is critical. They did not have it. And the proof of it is a lack of appreciation. So notice what happens is they never once looked back. It doesn't say they even looked back and waved at him. What ungrateful wretches. And you know what Jesus does? Keep in mind, this is the same one that healed them. He could have said, okay, if you're not going to appreciate it, I'll give it back to you. And all of a sudden they can stop and say, oh, Lord, we're sorry. We didn't have the right attitude about this. There's no record they ever went to Jesus Christ and said thank you for being healed and given a new life. If you've been saved this morning, is there a record in heaven where you've told the Lord, Lord, thank you for what you did for me and you gave me a new life? Lord, thank you for giving me heaven. Lord, thank you for all the blessing. That's what Thanksgiving season is all about. It was declared by President Lincoln years ago, right after the Civil War, during the Civil War, really. Let's give a voice of thanksgiving to our God. Do you understand today that Thanksgiving is an attitude? It's not just words. And these men did not have it. While Jesus is on his way selflessly to die for them, I want you to notice what it cost them. They got healed, but not saved. They got their bodies healed, but because of their attitudes, they didn't die and go to heaven like the one did. Now watch this. Notice the one in his actions of submission. Look, if you would, in verse number 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. It's like, here he is, all of them got healed, they're all going the same direction. It's like he was going with them. And then it dawned on him, he did something wonderful for me. So he turns around and yells, thank you, or something. And then even that got a hold of his heart. And he said, wait a minute. He's changed my life. My leprosy's gone. I'll be able to hug my wife again, or I'll be able to go to my mother, my father. I'll be able to go to all the family affairs again. I'll be able to get a job again. I'll be normal. I need to go say thank you. So he goes and look at what it says. In verse 16, and he fell down on his face at his feet. Now that is the attitude of submission. It is, he wanted to do the healer right. Do we want to do the healer right? Do you want to do Jesus Christ right because of what he's done for you? Well, keep in mind, you can say, Lord, thank you. But is your attitude one of submission? Have you knelt down before him and said, Lord, I owe you. You mean everything to me. You see, you can have the one attitude of, man, look what he's done for me, and keep right on going. But your actions tell what's in your heart. One of the things that I have tried to learn, when we had, for years we had the Thanksgiving dinner at our house, and Susan would cook. And then Jeremy got married, and Mandy and Susan would kind of cook together. And so we'd have Thanksgiving dinner when they were home. And we have Thanksgiving dinner, you know. It's always Thanksgiving Day, and there's ball games on. And so the guys, we'd go out and throw the ball around or whatever, and come in. They'd say, okay, you know, dinner's ready. We'd come in, and we'd sit down. We'd look at the turkey, and we'd look at the smoked turkey. That's my favorite, and ham, and honey-baked ham. And we'd look at mashed potatoes and green bean casserole. If you're starting to salivate, well, so am I. And so all the good stuffs and man, the pecan pie that's baked and bluebell ice cream to go on the pecan pie. Wow, is it wonderful. So we'd sit down there, have a word of prayer and say, Lord, thank you. And quite frankly, we'd eat it in probably 12 minutes. How long does it take you? Do we sit down and make that meal last 12. Now, she cooked for about 3 or 4 hours all morning, and we'd eat about 12, 14 minutes. Say, is the ball game on yet? Let's go watch the ball game. Any wives, now don't raise your hand. Don't make us look bad. But have we ever done that, all your labor and effort, and not really said, honey, thank you for that meal? I mean, the attitude should be there. It shouldn't just be we run in and eat that meal. Now, I'll be honest with you. And then I learned a little bit more about Thanksgiving when we're going to Africa to meet Jeremy and Mandy. We're going there for Christmas. And he says, Mom, Dad, would you bring a turkey and a ham and all the trimmings? Well, we said, okay, we can do that. And so we get a suitcase and we put all the stuff in it, cans of green beans and yams and all kinds of stuff. And boy, I mean, we pack up that suitcase and then it takes another suitcase because they're too big and heavy. And so we're taking two suitcases with supper in them, you know? And you know, we got off the plane. Now listen very carefully, got off the plane. Oh, son, it's good to see you. Now the little airport there in Uganda is... it's getting better, but you know, you get off the plane, you walk down the tarmac, you get on the tarmac and you walk and it's 100 degrees and you go in a little place and there's no air conditioning and then you go hunt for your stuff and you get it and then you walk out. And when you walk out, there's Jeremy and Mandy. They can't come in that little section there. You go out and say, hey, son, how are you doing? And he looks at me and says, boy, good to see you, Mom, Dad. Did the turkeys make it? We've taken it's 5 or 6 suitcases of stuff. It wasn't the Christmas presents. It wasn't our clothes. He said, did the turkeys, did the meal make it? Which one is in there? Now, you know what? I understand that. He's a pitman. He likes to eat. I understand that. But boy, when we were fixing it, wow, it meant more over there than it did here. Because it's a whole lot harder to cook. And we made it last. And there was no place to go and no ball game, so we didn't just woof it down in 12 minutes. And, you know, we knew when that was gone, there wasn't going to be any more like that. My granddaughter called the other day because Jeremy used to go to Kampala to get all their foodstuffs, and they switched and went instead of 5 hours to Kampala, went 6 hours to Kenya. And they found a place in Kenya where they could get their groceries, and they got them and brought them back. And you know what? Susan got on the phone. Michaela says, now she's 5. She said, Nana, 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 you know what we got? What'd you get? We got the things you got in America. We got some Pop-Tarts. Strawberry Pop-Tarts. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not very thankful. You know, when I buy McDonald's, get a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, we have so many freedoms. We have so much blessing. But if we're not careful, we'll get the attitude of, I deserve it. I should have it. This one man teaches us a real lesson. He could have just said, Lord, thank you, and keep right on going. Open up this present. Thank you, Mom, Dad. Next present. Thank you, Mom, Dad. Next present. Thank you, Uncle. Thank you. And just keep opening the presents. Or we could teach our children, and we could teach ourselves to have the attitude and the actions of submission. True thanksgiving. Notice what he does. Verse 16, he fell down on his face at his feet. He's doing the act of worship. He fell on his face, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, let me tell you why the Samaritan was probably, the other 9 were not Samaritans. They made a specific point in Scripture of saying he was a Samaritan. You know why? Because Samaritans were considered to be, they're half Jews and half other things in that country, different tribes and different people. So they weren't considered to be normal Jews. So they didn't have the privileges and the rights. They were looked down on as a second-class citizen. He knew what it was like to not have. And it affected his heart. Do you know what it's like You're an American. We don't know what it's like most of the times. What other countries go through. We have so much in this country. Be careful of your heart. Your Heavenly Father loves you and He loves to bless you. But I see a people here. I see a man here that encouraged the heart of Christ as he's on his way to die for that Samaritan. Samaritan didn't realize it. But he had the right attitude. You and I know Jesus died for us. Do when we talk to him, we have that attitude, the attitude of submission. You'll notice he humbled himself as he recognized who Jesus Christ was and what he had done for him. And notice in verse number 17, and Jesus answering and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Now, I would wonder today, are you the 1 or are you in the 9? What's your attitude? What are your actions? And then finally, verse 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, now watch this, arise, go thy way. Notice the next line, thy faith hath made thee whole. There's a difference between getting healed and getting saved. And this man was made completely whole, spiritually. Today, let me ask you this question. Are you the one? Because I'm going to tell you, being appreciative to your parents is very unique. Telling your parents thank you is very unusual. Writing your parents notes, very unusual. You want to know why? Because it's 10%. We get used to what we've been given. We get used to having and we begin expecting it. When they went up to Jesus Christ, those 10, they went up to Jesus Christ, Master, have mercy on us. They didn't say, Master, will you heal us? They expected it. I'm not talking about faith. They expected it because he had healed other people. Apparently they had heard that he was the great healer and that he could heal. And who in the world would be better candidates for being healed than us? We're lepers. I know if we tell him we need to be healed, he'll do it. Because nobody else has got it like we do. Do we have that attitude? You don't know how difficult it is for me financially. Do we have that attitude? You don't know what I'm going through health-wise. Do we have that attitude? I read again this morning when the Apostle Paul said, when the Lord said to Apostle Paul, in my grace is sufficient for thee. Whatever his malady was, he looked at him and said, you know what? I'll take pleasure in infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Lord, I humble myself to you. Do we do that? Thanksgiving. I was telling the Sunday school class this morning, how many of you read about the gentleman in India that built a $1 billion home? How many of you heard about that? $1 billion. It takes 600 servants to maintain his house. Now we look at it and say, wow, that's amazing. How hard would it be for his children to be thankful? Well, let me ask you this. How difficult is it for us to be thankful? You got up this morning to an alarm clock powered by some place you don't know where. You flipped on the light switch and the light came on. You walked into your bathroom, turned a little knob and fresh water came out that you didn't have to boil. We got into a little thing called a shower, cleansed ourselves. Went back into the refrigerator, pulled out something for breakfast, put it into a microwave, and it was done in that quick. And we get up ready to go to church, and we're running late. And we ride in a vehicle that's got heat. And we get to church. We pull into the Lord's house, and we say, man, I can't wait till lunch. I can't wait to see the ball game. How ungrateful. We better be very careful this Thanksgiving season, because God has been good to us. Are you one of the 10, one of the 9, or you're the one? Remember the attitude, humbled himself, fell at his feet, and said, Lord, thank you. Is that you today? I want to challenge everybody here to make a list of 3 people that you should say thank you to. Just in your mind, on a piece of paper, write down 3 names of people you owe. Thank you. Maybe your boss, you write a note, you've been working for him for 15 years. I just want to tell you thank you for my job. I'll bet you hadn't got one of those letters. Maybe never. Your light will shine when you become grateful. And then I want to encourage you to make a list of 3 things to tell him you're thankful for. I want you to, in your heart and your mind, get into a place and get down on your knees in your heart. Lord, thank you. The attitude of submission changes a heart and makes the actions sweet to him. Have you said thankful, thank you recently? Let's pray. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of Imitation Hymn. If you're here today and you've been saved and never been scripturally baptized, maybe you need to come. So, Lord, I'm proud of being saved. Maybe you're here today and you've been saved and baptized, would like to be part of our church. We'd love to have you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ. You've never been saved. You've never gotten it settled, eternal life in your heart. You're not sure you'd go to heaven if you died, and you'd like to get it settled this morning. Would you come to me? I'd be glad to help you. Maybe you're here this morning and just carrying a weight. Maybe you've been like all of us are from time to time. If we're not careful, we're like the 9. I need you to come this morning and kneel at this altar and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Thank you. I think everybody in this room, we could come to this altar and say, Lord, thank you for this. Maybe you just sit down in your seat there and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my parents. Lord, thank you for my job. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Make a list of at least 3 things and just say, Lord, thank you. Where's your heart? Can you imagine being healed from leprosy, given a brand new life, and never taking the time to turn around and say, thank you? That's us. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. If you need to come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Or if you need to come to this altar and say, Lord, there's 3 people I need to go thank. Or there's 1 person especially I need to say thank you to. Why don't you mark it in your heart? I'm going to take care of that today. Or I'll see my boss tomorrow. I'm going to take care of it tomorrow. Why don't you make that commitment between you and the Lord this morning? Lord, I'm going to be like the 1, not the 9. Lord Jesus, you see all the hearts in this room. Lord, you know what we think and you know what we are. I plead with you to help us, the people of Temple Baptist Church, not to be of the 9, but to be like the 1, the Samaritan, Lord, realizing we were sinners. We had no chance for heaven until you came and you forgave us. Lord, help us to be grateful. Bless our children that they would learn to be grateful. And our wives and our husbands. Lord, teach us that lesson, if none other, this Thanksgiving.